Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. The Reverend Roy Askins is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I have delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. There's nothing quite like the specter of death to sharpen wisdom and insight. As the darkness of death begins to creep in on the edges of your vision, whether this is in a prolonged way as through a cancer diagnosis, or in a fast and abrupt way, often facilitated by driving on St. Louis highways, it creates a kind of tunnel vision, a recognition that man is mortal, that his time here on this earth is limited, that death is in some way the great equalizer. And so we pray with Moses in Psalm 90 today, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Even the secular world gets this to some degree, one degree or another. Those of you interested in the habits of highly effective people will know how often they begin with the end in mind. They will, for example, write out their obituaries, picturing how their friends and family will celebrate them at their funeral. This practice of imagining their death sharpens their focus while living, inspiring them to great achievements lest they be left with an unfavorable epithet, something along the lines of executed as a criminal among criminals for crimes against the state or some silliness like that. O Lord, teach us who take refuge in you also to number our days. The secular version of this drives us to greater works and more achievements, to things that I can accomplish by my own hands. But it misses the point of Psalm 90, a psalm that pulls no punches about my abilities to walk before the Lord. Moses says, "For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." What a terrifying announcement. There's no place to go where we might escape the presence of God. There is therefore no place to hide our sin. This psalm confesses that God places even our secret sins in the light of his presence. In this light, everything is exposed. Our sin, our wickedness, all those evil things we do in the quiet and dark times are there before God. Learning to number our days in this way would certainly lead to despair if this were the end of the story, would it not? Perhaps you would despair as the Corinthians did, despair that in the end it's not really worth anything at all. The Corinthians despaired of the resurrection in particular. They didn't believe that they would be raised body and soul at the last. And I have to wonder if God were going to keep all my sins before him, to bring forth my sins in the eternal, never-ending light of his presence. What desire would I have to stand in the resurrection? Why would I want to live in his eternal presence? Why dwell among him who would not let my sin go? This would be enough to drive anyone to despair. But do not despair. There is despair, and then there is despair. One encompasses the struggle with doubt. The other has given over faith, has believed in vain, as St. Paul warns. The one cries out with the psalmist, "Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants," while the other denies his goodness and rejects his gifts. It cannot see why one would desire to dwell in the presence of God. So to overcome this despair, let me deliver to you what is of first importance. What delivers the faith that overcomes doubt, that chases despair back into the dark hole from whence it came. You received this faith, and in this faith you now stand and hold fast. It is this: Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and he appeared to many after his resurrection. Christ died for sins. Those same sins that brought into the light of God's presence would be terrifying. Those same sins are swept away in God's wrath, wrath borne by the one who died on the cross, who not only numbered his days with wisdom, but who also died among criminals as a criminal, cursed by his death on the tree, rejected by men, of all men the most to be pitied. But it was in his death that the Lord finally returned, finally answered that age-old question of the Psalms, "How long, O Lord?" In him and in his death, God had pity on his servants and satisfies them in the morning when he arose from the grave's dark prison, the morning when our Lord and Savior rose full and free. And should you doubt this, should you wonder, he did not leave you without a witness. Fewer events in the history of the world have more cause to be doubted by the rational human mind, and yet have more attestation of its reality than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He appeared not only to the apostles and to Cephas and over 500 disciples in one large group, but also to the church's greatest and most significant critic, to one apostle untimely born, to St. Paul himself. Dear people of God, this is the gospel we have preached to you, and the gospel in which you believe. This word of proclamation that helps us to number our days rightly, which are merely 70 or by reason of strength 80 years. They might end in a sigh, they might end in the rattle of death for the moment. But God promises you, O child of God, a new and resurrected body, new life obtained, bright angels attesting that you are not the most to be pitied, for you have already died with Christ. And so also, you shall surely rise with him. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.